teams of engineering ingenues demonstrate their ingenuity by cobbling together classic creations from our rusting rubbish.
And this week, it's the grand final, where this year's champions take on last year's grand final winners. And to swap the men from the boys, they'll have to build their very own Grand Prix Scrappy Racers.
Stand back for a fast and furious, adrenaline-fueled burnout. Our teams must build racing cars from scratch and then push them to the limit around Europe's fastest race circuit here at Rockingham.
Returning to the fray are reigning grand champions, the Catalysts, a team of Jaguar engineers from Warwickshire. Tim, Shane and Captain Gary.
Determined to wipe the grin off the top cat's faces, it's the pride of the Royal Navy, the destroyers, Adrian, JJ and Captain Jim. Catalysts!
Yes!
Destroyers!
Yes!
This is the big one, the grand final. This is the holy grail of metal maestros, from Minehead to the Mull of Kintyre, and it's going to be a white-knuckle ride. So shape up, Schumacher, hang on to your hat, Hakkinen, and butt out Button.
Oh, yes. Your challenge is to build the most speedometer-spinning, rubber-burning Grand Prix cars on the circuit.
OK, teams, it's a Le Mans of a challenge, so we're giving you a whacking 20 hours to build a vehicle that will turn a red Ferrari British racing green with envy. Wait for it, wait for it. Oh,
go!
To enable the Catalysts to roar to yet another championship, they've recruited Matt Feasey. Matt works in design and development for the Cosworth Formula One team.
Helping the destroyers blow the Cat Challenge away, they've turned to Jordan. Nick Jordan, that is, an engineer with over 30 years of working in motorsport for teams such as Lola.
Nick, how you doing?
Hi, Jim.
Brilliant. Okay, guys, Formula One cars. That says to me, space frame, high power to weight ratio, engine, power plant, big sticky tyres, keeps on the track.
Captain Jim is very much the man in charge and has steered his crew through an impressive run of victories. This year, the destroyers have sunk all comers, first with their wheelie car. A ground-shaking jet racer. An incredible car curler. And in the final, they blasted their opponents with a thundering tank.
But now they're taking on the big boys, and the Royal Navy are facing the mother of all battles. In the 2001 final, the Cats car jouster crumpled the competition, and in 2002, their car flinger catapulted them to victory.
Their cars don't have to look slick, but they will need a lightweight chassis, a powerful engine, ground-hugging tyres and a low centre of gravity. The essentials for taking our track at high speed.
Gear lever here like that. Steering rack across the front.
Veteran racing engineer Nick radiator is giving the Navy a quick steer on motorsport basics. He wants to put their engine up front.
The engine's going to be...
The destroyers plan to build a classic cigar-shaped, front-engine-powered racing car. They'll construct a lightweight steel chassis, stick a big, powerful engine in front of the driver, and find some wide tyres to give them extra grip. It's a no-frills design that should be straightforward to build, but because most of the weight is up front, they'll need to corner carefully, or the back end will slide, and they could even skid off the track.
How are we going to win at this then, Matt?
Okay.
Basically, the high-tech Cats are going for a design that's bang up to date.
Rear-wheel drive, mid-engined-ish.
They want to put the engine behind the driver, the essential feature on all modern high-performance racing cars.
I'm looking for a light driver, Tim.
Me, that's me.
The Catalysts will also build a lightweight steel chassis, fitted up with fat tyres, but they're placing their engine behind the driver. This modern mid-engine design ensures the weight of the engine and driver is distributed evenly over all four wheels. This gives the car much better grip, and when they add a sleek aerodynamic body, the car should hug the track at high speed, even around the corners. The Catalysts could be onto a winner, but it's an ambitious car to construct, and moving that engine backwards could give them problems with linking drive controls to steering and the gearbox.
I want a lightweight, high-powered weight ratio engine.
Big engine.
2 litre.
Keep your eyeballs open.
Lightweight steel tubing.
Right, let's get cracking.
Happy hunting.
So design-wise, it's an intriguing battle of the old versus the new. But first, our wannabe Schumachers must get into top gear and find the best bits of junk to make their Grand Prix races. Top of our team's scavenge list, a big, powerful engine, wide tyres, and lots of lightweight steel to make up a chassis.
Cat scavenger Shane has pounced on a Nissan Bluebird. Hang on, it's motor racing, not minicabbing, mate. But Shane knows that the 1800cc Nissan engine has an alloy head, it's powerful, light and strong.
No way, not hope.
While the catalysts struggle with the Bluebird, the destroyers are checking out a chunky 2-litre Jeep.
JJ, is this going to be your engine?
Well, it looks like it. I think it's the spec we were after.
Right.
About 2 litre.
Right.
So it looks good.
It's not a vehicle I'm familiar with, is it? All right, Adrian?
Hello, Rod.
All right, you're still in one piece. Didn't realise those things could actually fly till this morning. There's some fairly speedy movement. So, because it doesn't immediately strike me as Formula One type engine, but I mean, it's an engine, isn't it?
It's an engine.
So all we're after is the power plant and the gearbox,
right,
from this little beastie.
So then the chassis and all that stuff you're going to build and from scratch?
From scratch, yeah.
Fabricate it up.
Nice.
Weld it.
Nice. Welded.
Four wheels and an engine and an accelerator pedal and it's whoosh.
Come on, Shane. Beautiful. That's lovely.
The Jag crew have brought the Nissan in for a quick pit stop. They want to strip the engine and gearbox out, but first it's back to the heap to hunt down steel for a racing chassis. These boys aren't kings of the heap for nothing. They know it's vital to sniff out the best scrap before the competition can get a look in.
Let's put this out of the way to avoid dropping your feet. There we go.
Yep. What's the thinking of a 5-bar gate in order to build a Formula One car?
We need to build a tubular chassis.
Right, what's the advantage of having a tubular chassis?
Well, it's light for start,
mm-hmm.
and it's also very strong, sort of thing.
The critical element of this is to get lightweight and high power, so we want high power to weight ratio.
You've kind of got to win this, really, haven't you? I'm not being funny, but you've got an unbeaten record. You're against Navy boys who have experience on water, but not any on cars, and you're all, you know, you're all car engineers.
We're wide open here, aren't we?
Yeah. You
really are.
wide open for an embarrassment.
But it's the Navy who should be embarrassed. While the cats strip the yard of steel, the destroyers are still messing around with the Jeep. Captain Jim is hardly running a tight ship.
Yep. I told you don't put it on there!
The no-nonsense Jaguar pit crew springs into action, stripping the Bluebird.
I'm just watching Tim nervously not set fire to my car.
They're taking the engine, gearbox, front axle and suspension. They'll keep it as one unit, all ready to be mounted on their custom-built chassis.
1, 2, 3.
Over the wall, Captain Jim's crew are drifting. Carry on like this, lads, and the cats will be lapping you. As the Jeep finally chugs into dry dock, the Bluebird is sent flying. There's no sign of a chassis, but the sailors' morale is high. JJ's been spying on the cats and thinks their motor's a bit of a kitten.
Listen, listen, Bluebird.
Teams, you have 18 hours remaining. Only 18 hours remaining, teams.
Loads to do.
Captain Jim's finally realised that his crew better start thinking chassis.
Framework is a must because they're nicking every single bit of it. We'll get the engine out of here.
Adrian is sent out on a solo sortie, but the yard is now looking light on the steel tubing front.
Ah, good morning, Mutt Engine. This is the
Robert,
engine
hello.
Of a Formula scrap car.
Oh, yeah.
So, what about the chassis and all that sort of stuff?
You won't yeah, that's going to come.
You won't use the chassis on this, you'll use...
No. We're going to make it out of light steel, 14-gauge box steel.
Now, of course, you are up against the Catalysts, who've been, you know, they've won more than a handful of competitions.
I'm in awe. The only thing I'm concerned about is them nicking all the steel.
Captain Jim's right to be worried as able-bodied Adrian starts to realise that the cats may have stolen the cream of the steel.
JJ, have you seen anything? Because I must be blind, mate. I really must be walking around with my eyes shut. Over.
While Adrian carries on navel-gazing, the cat's eyes are on the prize. It's a brilliant find. A helicopter frame made of very strong and extremely light steel tubing.
A bit more, It's tubular, it's triangulated, it's steel, it's sound. God, it weighs nothing, doesn't it? Mind out, Cameron.
Our grand final judge is Rob Taylor. He's a speed wizard with over 20 years' experience of designing Formula One cars for Jaguar, Ferrari, Benetton and Arrows.
Yeah, from what I can see, the two big design differences between the two teams is the Destroyers have got a front-engine car with the driver behind the engine, and the Catalysts have got a rear-engine car with a driver in front of the engine. And, I mean, what is the big advantage of having the engine there? Because presumably they changed that round for a reason.
Yes, weight distribution and good traction. So the driven wheels are the loaded wheels.
Right.
On acceleration, the weight of the engine is over those wheels.
Right. So, I mean, if you had to enter one of these cars into a... you know, a Formula scrap race. If you're the team manager, which one would you choose at the moment?
It's a difficult choice, but I think the Destroyers are going to be able to build a better car in the time than the components they've got available.
Right.
Theirs is less of a challenge. Technically not as good, but less of a challenge. So I think they've got a good chance at the moment.
But with no chassis, the Navy will be stuck on the grid. Captain Jim is now so anxious, his military discipline deserts him and he turns pirate.
Oh, I think we'll have that back.
Jaguar Gary springs in to repel the boarders and seems determined to mark out his territory.
Get out of here.
This scrappy bold hand is outraged. He's never seen anything like it.
This is beautiful and the scavenging's going well, but I'm a bit worried about that. Our neighbours coming in and nicking steel.
Self-lets.
That is completely out of order. Once it's in here, it's ours.
Things haven't been going well for Adrian, but he hopes this heavyweight frame of box section steel will finally placate his stressed out skipper. But Captain Jim and expert Nick are not impressed.
No, we're not going to make a car out of that.
It's the best we've got.
We can't make a car out of that stuff, that's for sure.
So it's rear-wheel drive, mid-engine.
The cats are building a modern mid-engine car and have purred into an early lead. They've found an engine and plenty of tubular steel for their chassis. They've also got a helicopter frame for more lightweight steel.
It weighs nothing.
The Destroyer's military discipline is starting to crack. They want to build a classic racer with an engine up front, but they're desperately short of steel for their chassis.
I must be blind, mate.
It's about thick enough.
CDS. It's the afternoon of day one of our two-day build, and Adrian thinks he's finally cracked the Destroyer's chassis crisis.
Two more wall.
He's found a tubular five-bar gate, but Captain Jim's not impressed.
It's no good for the main chassis.
This steely skipper seems to be holding out for perfection. The crew must be worried. Can their captain have lost his bearings and forgotten he's on the good ship's scrap heap?
All right.
Hey!
The keen-eyed cats are still on the prowl and have spotted a Skoda. But it's no joke as far as they're concerned. What they want is the car's front wheel section.
That's the way to do it.
And they'll go to any lengths to get it.
We probably want it on its top now, Shane.
Like the Catalyst's wannabe winner, the Skoda has its engine at the back. This means that front wheel suspension system is lightly sprung because it doesn't have to support the heavy weight of the engine and gearbox. If the Catalysts had scavenged a car with the engine at the front, the suspension would have been stiffer, making their front end bouncy and extremely hard to handle out on the track. That Skoda front end has given them suspension, wheels, brakes and steering all in one. It'll knock hours off their build time.
It's great, and it's got all nice bits of steel we can weld straight to. I like the steering column straight on as well, doesn't it? Couldn't have asked for more than that, could we?
No.
There's still no solution to the Navy's chassis problem, but Captain Jim is determined to press on and rip the engine and gearbox out of the Jeep.
It's not working, Jim!
I've got
this
steering wheel. Yeah.
Park it there.
Okay, straight. Remember, shot it.
Wait. So it gets the whole front off.
Yep.
Excellent.
Afternoon, chaps.
Hello.
This is all very exciting, I don't know what you're doing, but you've got an engine. I saw that.
Yep.
What is this for? Is this for the tube? Are you using that for the...
No.
This is it. This is going to be our chassis.
This is our race car, yeah.
Yep.
What is it, though?
helicopter.
It was a helicopter, we think.
My next job was to, from a Skoda, use all the front suspension, steering rack, suspension arms, wheels.
So equally glamorous.
So we've got
glamorous.
I know.
You could have been cutting out Lamborghinis and Porsches.
No. They wouldn't have what you wanted.
Exactly.
They wouldn't be the quality that you demand.
Lock it. Right.
Captain Jim and expert Nick are laying out the multi-piece jigsaw that will make up their front-engine racer. They've got the engine, gearbox, front axle, pedals and steering wheel from the Jeep, and their back axle from a Sierra. But Jim, haven't you forgotten something?
We've got plenty to play with. We'll hack it off and duck it in a different way.
Teams, you have 12 hours remaining. 12 full hours remaining, teams. Thank you.
I've searched everywhere. I can't find any 40mm box.
There's nothing we can do. We've got this down. Once we're finished on this, we've got nothing to do either. And until we get this box section, or something to build a chassis out. So I'm sure, my fine fella, you're going to have to go out and...
I'll carry on.
Crowbar around again.
Right, so what do we want to do? Start stripping this off,
start stripping this down, I suppose, can't we? Get all this.
The catalysts are flying, and now it's time to chop up that chopper. It's the perfect racing chassis. Light, but incredibly strong.
Who's done the saw blade? God, everything's made of moon metal on this thing.
It is, isn't it?
It's unobtainium.
It's make or break time for the destroyers, but they're concerned that Adrian's tubular steel is too weak to use for their car chassis. But the box section he's brought in is far too heavy. All eyes are on Captain Jim. He needs to get a grip and steer his crew in the right direction.
And this is a decision. If we make it out of that stuff, it's too heavy. Coming in and out of corners, the inertia's going to be too great, and although we've got a whopping great big engine, it's just going to slow us down. If we make it out of this stuff, yeah, OK, it's not ideal on its own, but if we can strengthen it like a lighting gantry up there, strengthen it up, stiffen it up, we should be able to make a fairly light frame for that thing, and it should be OK to run. So that's the decision, guys. Forget the heavy stuff. We're going to go with that. We've got enough of it. Let's live with it. See what we can do.
OK, right, let's go for it.
So, Rob, we're kind of coming up to halfway through the build, and both teams are sort of struggling on.
Yeah, I think the catalysts have done rather well this afternoon.
Yeah.
Made some good choices. They've now got this whole subframe arrangement.
They've presumably got the steering assembly and everything with it, so they don't...
Got the steering rack, got the wishbones, got the uprights, got the brakes, all built on there.
Right.
That's, you know, taken hours out of their build. Yeah. The destroyers, we're looking for some 2x2 box section, which admittedly is probably the right thing to use because it's easier to cut and graft together. The round tube is harder to work with, but they've had to go with it because that's what they found in the scrapyard.
With the decision finally made, it's now full steam ahead for the Royal Navy. It's not going to be easy making a high-performance racing car chassis from such flimsy steel.
It's pants, Jim.
Oh, you're ripping it.
So it's time for some stiff upper lip and what could be a non-stop welding detail for one of the crew.
How are we going to set this engine up to be square to the direction of our vehicle now?
Why don't we use the laser?
Can you see the laser?
The catalysts are discovering that making a mid-engine racer out of scrap metal is no pushover. This high-tech crew are tooled up with lasers, but they've hit a problem.
It's just way out.
In their haste to remove the engine, they've damaged it, throwing out all their calculations. Time for plan B.
Teams, you have 11 hours remaining. 11 hours remaining, teams, thank you.
I hate these super short hours.
Over the fence, the destroyers are playing a furious game of catch-up. They need to strengthen their dodgy tubular steel, a time-consuming and frustrating process.
Come on, Adrian, you're slow coach, you're holding us up.
Of course, you know, the catalysts, what with their helicopter frame, you know, they're flying. They're absolutely flying ahead.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've been Bobby.
The destroyers, on the other hand, not happy
about this. Because I've sort of heard some...
I think they just thought that it's grand final, they've come this far, and it just wasn't going to be that difficult.
Yeah, because that's the problem. You know, they're all going to go and sleep on it now, which means that Jim's got even more time to really do Adrian's heading. Where was the box section? 4 hours away to it. Adrian's going back this morning.
Catalyst, you have 30 seconds remaining. Destroyers, 16 hours. Thank you.
I like being me.
As day one of our special two-day build draws to an end, the cats are grinning, but they can't afford to relax. Finishing this ambitious design could still prove to be a nightmare.
Stick some dirt on this.
The destroyers are trailing, but with their simpler design and the chassis sorted, they'll be hoping for a spell of plain sailing on day two.
Teams, you have 10 hours remaining, but none of them are remaining today. So that's it, teams. Get back to your pits, get a bit of kip, and we'll see you in the morning. Well done.
So, who'll take pole position in our Formula Scrap Showdown? Will a Catalyst's chopper-framed racer make them the high flyers, or will the destroyers dump them on their big ends? Find out after the break.
Because the thing's not...
It's day two of our special two-day build, and there's no pussyfooting around as Cats Captain Gary gives his team their orders for the day.
We've got to the point where we've got this stuff done by lunchtime, I think we'll be laughing. And that's quite a long list by lunchtime, considering we only did, like, two things on our list by all day yesterday. Right, OK, onwards and upwards.
The high-tech Jaguar engineers are building a thoroughly modern mid-engine racing car. They've got a helicopter frame for a chassis, front wheel section from a Skoda, and a Nissan engine.
Because this side hasn't got the tube on yet, has it?
The destroyers spent too much time looking for steel yesterday, and they know it. Captain Jim's determined there'll be no easing off today. He's cutting up a deck chair to make struts for their chassis frame.
The frame, the main thing, which slowed us up yesterday. It's now looking better. The idea is to strengthen it. We take these pieces and we'll stick them down here and we'll work along, zigzag, OK?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe get his feet over that.
And, yeah.
I don't know, but, you know, he's trying...
The Catalyst car is really starting to take shape. They've nominated Tim to drive and are customising foot pedals, seating position and steering to suit him.
You want the tooth, you want a bit of, bend your arms a little bit.
That's the way I like to drive, though.
OK.
Even though the destroyers are lagging behind, Captain Jim and JJ take time out for a peek over the fence. They've noticed that the cats may be heading for a spot of bother.
Yeah, so they're going to have problems with their gear shift because the engine's now pointing...
Oh, this is lovely.
It's facing the wrong way, isn't it? Yeah.
Call for Catalyst! Now, the first thing I noticed about this, cars normally have gear, have engines in the front. Obviously, you've got your engine in the back.
That's right.
How does that kind of alter the other things you have to do?
Well, where Shane is stood is where the gear change in the car is.
Well, normally, if I was in this and Bluebird, I'd be sat this side of the engine and have the gear lever this side of me. Because we've turned everything round, the rod's this side, but the gear change is that side.
Catalysts have moved the Bluebird's front-wheel drive engine to the back of their racer. The gearbox is not only facing the wrong way, the gear stick is well out of reach. But they can't turn that gearbox around because the car would then run in reverse. So, to change gear successfully, these clever cats plan to attach a plate to the transmission shaft, which is then attached to the gear selector by a pivoting rod. The shaft can then be moved in and out and rotated using the gear stick at the driver's side. It's a crafty plan, but the gears are still back to front, and changing up or down at speed could prove quite hairy.
No, it's a mirror image. It's not even upside down. Second.
It's easy enough to mark out the new gear arrangement, but it could be hard work remembering it in the heat of the race.
Fifth.
And reverse, down the bottom.
And reverse. That's what we think they are.
The destroyers are ready to install their engine and gearbox. This is where their old-school design should pay dividends. They don't have the hassle with gearing the cats have experienced. Their engine and transmission simply slots into place at the front of their car.
Now, Rob, the destroyer's car is looking rather smart.
It is. It is looking...
finesse going on there.
Yeah. But they are taking a long time to get there.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a worry.
I mean, certainly I can't help thinking of Mad Max when I see
the Catalyst car. Yes,
yeah, I think I expect that to bounce over the desert with a lot of loonies inside.
Catalyst car certainly have embraced the scrapness of the event. Yeah. It looks like a scrap car.
It really does.
It looks like the engine almost behind the drive.
it is
almost right on the axle.
Yeah.
And I think the penalty they may pay for that is the weight over the front wheels would be quite low.
Because there's nothing. You could lift the front tire, couldn't you?
Yes. Front tire grip may be an issue. They might get a thing called understeer, which is where the front tires don't turn into the corner very well and the car tends to go straight on.
Because the catalyst engine has been placed further back than they originally intended, there isn't enough weight up front. This means their steering will be light and may not respond on fast bends. To counter understeering, they need to build a wing or aerofoil. A racing car aerofoil works in the opposite way to an aeroplane wing. A plane's wing lifts up, whereas a racing car's aerofoil pushes air down, giving the car loads of lovely grip on the track.
Seam welds along the edge there.
Setting the aerofoil's angle is crucial. If it's too low, it'll create drag, too high, and the car could flip over.
So how good are we going to be at making a stab at the optimum angle right now? This isn't a bad angle to have it at, I guess.
Right, I can give you That's 7 degrees is a good start.
OK, brilliant.
Does everyone know what they're doing?
Yeah.
OK, all clear. Right, let's go to it.
Top job, brilliant. Let's go for it.
Gary is tooled up for the job.
Can you just hold that for me a minute while I get a level off the inclinometer?
Got it, yeah.
Okay.
He reckons 7 degrees is cool for the cats.
Suspension arms, they need bolts on the back.
Yeah, there's some bits.
Okay. Afternoon, gentlemen, what a lovely day. So lucky to be working here in the lovely weather. So, what have you got to do now? Because are you going to have any kind of aerodynamic-y business on the front?
There's a plan. We've got our bits.
Like cunning plan?
We've been getting ahead, because we're collecting all the bits. For now, we've got the bits. We're just getting on with it.
We're going to have something...
It's almost a complete range of European car models. All in the front. That looks like a proper racing car. That is so good. It just needs a number on it, doesn't it? You've got it.
Yeah, 53.
53, is that the number?
That's Herbie.
Look.
That's a squirrel.
That's the bonnet off the,
that's gonna be
the engine you got. I mean, the car.
That's right, yeah.
And where will that go? Is that like a wing on the back?
The Rickman, yes.
Oh, fantastic.
But there you go.
That would be a bit of squirrel.
Up a bit.
That's going to sit at the back.
Right.
The rival racing cars are really starting to take shape, but they're both still a long way from taking the chequered flag.
Teams, you've got 3 hours left.
Three hours left, teams.
Yes, 3 hours of leisure time remaining.
It's time for a spot of metal bashing in the Navy Yard as the destroyers sort out their side panels.
OK, teams, you've been building for 19 hours. Whoa. You have 1 hour remaining.
Let's go to the pub.
Now, Rob, sitting here yesterday, there was two bits of old rusty metal and nothing, a lot of rubbish and a lot of talking. And now there are, two. I thought they'd be more. These are like two sophisticated high-speed vehicles, aren't they?
They've done a fantastic job. Yep, absolutely fantastic.
But the biggest change I've seen with the catalyst machine is the
wing.
The wing at the front. Which kind of doesn't look quite as big as I expected. I somehow thought it would be bigger than that.
I think, they've underestimated the...
Is it not big enough?
I'd say that won't be generating the required amount of downforce at the speeds they're likely to be going at.
Right. This is your last chance.
This is the crescendo.
This is your last chance in the yard now. You can see more or less what they're going to look like. Yeah. You change your mind which car you want in your pit.
They are both exceptionally well built and excellent jobs, but... Balance of risks, I think. The balance of risks, you'd go and have the destroyer's car.
Right.
Because it's much more conventional. These guys are going to suffer from, I think, a bit of understeer, and there's risky bits in it. Gear linkage, we've talked about before. Yeah. So I think the destroyers have an edge.
Whatever the judge thinks, the catalysts are determined to make their car aerodynamic.
Is this going to be a catalyst lucky moment or a catalyst unlucky moment? Oh, you got about an inch and a half clear. It's fantastic. It's perfect.
The destroyers have the opposite problem to the cats. They're worried their front engine might have made their car too light at the back, giving them problems with oversteering.
Oversteering occurs when a car is heavy at the front and too light at the back. This poor weight distribution means that during high-speed cornering, the back wheels won't have enough grip and the car could spin off. To get round the problem, the destroyers will need to put an aerofoil on the back, which will force air down, giving their racer increased traction on the track.
JJ is fitting on an aerofoil he's bashed together from bits of the Jeep. It might look the part, but he doesn't seem to have spent much time working out the correct angle. Too much haste now could cost speed on race day.
Actually, you do feel quite safe with all that around you, though.
You do. It's very, very cost-effective.
Give the gears a go.
So, wait a minute, I'm in. We'll just, that's neutral now.
It's marked up on the top. First,
No, don't do that sort of thing.
Got to go that way.
It's more. It's, you have to go in this,
it goes
angle.
This way.
Well, I don't know what I'm in there. Ah, there.
That's the one.
That's it. See?
Oh, no, reverse.
I think that was fifth.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Oh, you got five gears?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Five speed. Yeah.
This is going to be really fast.
This is scrappy, guys. You don't do fast. You never have.
My daring, daring destroyers.
Hello.
How's it going?
Not too bad,
I'm looking
thank
at four of you, and you all look absolutely exhausted. Has this been the toughest... I was going to say the toughest job you've ever done, but, you know, certainly the toughest build on scrap heap.
I think so, yeah.
It's been a long, hard couple of days.
A lot of work.
Teams, you have 10 minutes remaining, teams, that's all.
The teams have had almost 20 hours, but there's still no letting up. Now every second counts.
Cut out the shame.
Teams, it's time to hit the brakes and screech to a full stop.
We'll see you in the morning, ready to roar around Rockingham Racetrack in your red-hot racers. Well done, teams. Well done.
Will the Catalyst's rear-engine racer with its helicopter chassis and lightweight aerodynamic frame power them to victory in the grand final?
Or will the Destroyer's classic front Jeep engine tubular steel racer with VW Beetle trimmings send the Navy boys sailing to success? Join us after the break. It's the ultimate test of man and machine over three speedo spinning rounds. Which car will cope best on our handling course? Which team will pull off the fastest pit stop? And who'll take the checkered flag first in the third round head-to-head burnout?
Our teams have just 1 hour to make any final adjustments. The hyper-efficient cats have a daunting checklist.
Okay. I've got it now.
They've taken a high-tech approach throughout their build, and the Jag boys are not about to let up now.
Here we go.
2.25 over the distance. What's the distance from here to the wall? 4.030.
The Destroyer's traditional front-engine design has given them a much less technically demanding build. So tinkering is mainly a cosmetic affair. Oh, and letting the competition know just who they're up against.
Morning, chaps.
Hello, Robert.
Oh, look at this. Look, I had a Corgi model exactly like this.
You know, I hope not.
1950s classic race car. What about driving? Do you know who's going to drive yet?
Until we know what the rules for the races are, we'll decide then as to who does what.
Because if you all had... who's had the most experience of sort of small, fast cars that only one person sits in?
Well, JJ's a bikes man. Adrian's a Land Rover racing person,
right.
So...
It's not quite the same.
And Nick, I believe, has driven quite a few in his time.
The first round of our three-leg challenge will take place over a mile-long course designed to test out the handling skills of our drivers. It's a tight, tricky course, and to give our drivers time to get to know their cars, we're running the teams individually.
The Destroyers are first on the grid with JJ in the hot seat.
Destroyers, prepare to cast off and slip and proceed at the speed of naval gunfire!
It's made from an old steel gate, a Jeep engine, and some Beetle panelling, but this car looks right at home on the racetrack. And JJ seems determined to push the car to the limit. He's slipped neatly through the chicane, and he's not letting up as he approaches the hairpin bend.
Well, there we go. So that was an extreme case of oversteer. A very extreme case of oversteer.
Yeah. Oh, that was understeer.
Oversteer.
JJ's aerofoil just hasn't given the Destroyer's car enough downforce at a very high speed in the turn, and the back spun out. Classic oversteer. JJ has lost vital seconds there, but he's got no choice. He's really got to put his foot down, but still be cautious on the tight corners.
Quite chronic oversteering. But it's still going, though.
He's approaching the final bend and onto the home stretch.
Push it a little bit too hard.
Yeah, what happened on the corners?
Just lost the back end, counterbalance, got it back, going too fast, sideways sliding, and then it just took me off. Just took me off guard.
Yeah. But, engine was running, you got
it's
back
good,
on.
Good, yeah.
That spin-off may have cost the destroyers dearly, but can Shane capitalise on the error and put the cats ahead?
Racing is called for cats, so catalysts, let's hear that engine roar!
Off you go! The cat's rear engine racer not only looks the part...
That really sounds like a racing car, woo!
The cat's eyes are on Shane and how he'll cope with that back-to-front gear shift. The first test is the chicane. No problem. And it's a smooth gear change into the next set of tight corners. And now it's into the hairpin, which gave the destroyers so much trouble. But it's no problem for cool-headed Shane.
Looks like he's got better acceleration than the destroyer's car, doesn't he?
Here he comes.
Oh, I hope he's not going too fast in this bend here. He's coming over there a bit sharper.
He's breezed through the hardest section of the circuit, and now Shane is really putting pedal to the metal along the home stretch.
Oh, that was a very good run.
Very good.
Yeah, they're really thrilled with bits of that.
Even with that spin-off, the destroyers racked up a respectable 3 minutes 33 seconds, but the catalyst's faultless round clocked a winning 3 minutes 16 seconds.
Looks like they were, well, comparable, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, they are. They're very close, aren't they?
Yeah.
Woohoo!
That's what we like.
It's 1-0 to the cats as we move on to the faster outer circuit for the second leg of our grand final. There are three laps, but the driver must make one compulsory pit stop to allow the rest of the team to change a wheel.
The cats have changed driver. Now Tim's behind the wheel.
OK, catalysts, you're ahead by a whisker. It's the second round. Let's see if you can really lick them.
Tim's determined to show the Royal Navy just who's in the driving seat. He's quickly got the measure of that car. He's blistering through the chicane.
Well, that is very, very convincingly race car-like.
He's having no problems with that tricky gear shift round the bends and now really opens her up down the straight. Follow that, sailor boys. The team have called him in for the pit stop.
The rapid change. I love watching this stuff.
Got one car off. Fantastic.
So they're presumably not going to be able to do this quite to the same speed as a Formula One team. But I mean, they're doing very well.
Tim's looking impatient. The pit crew seem to be stalling.
Behind me on the jack. Behind me on the jack. Reverse. If you reverse the gunner, Matt.
At last, Matt's dived in to shift the jack. But the Jaguar crew have wasted vital seconds there. And Tim knows it.
Nice one.
Tim can't be happy with his pit crew, but he's determined to do his job and push that car to the limit on the final stretch.
Lovely noise, buzzing in from the distance. Go on, lad!
Sorry! Come on!
That was fantastic.
The cats might look pleased, but the Navy know that slack tyre change means they're back in with a chance.
OK, destroyers, you may be all at sea, but this is your chance to notch up the nuts. Freestyle.
Go, 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 go!
The destroyers are confident that JJ has got the measure of the car, and they're all in the pits ready for a rapid wheel change. JJ seems to be enjoying this faster circuit, and he's really letting a rip. Oh, that's a sharp turn. JJ's coming into the pit lane. The sailors steam in.
They're working pretty fast, though.
OK, out of here!
They've completed that wheel change with military precision, and JJ roars away.
Look at that. That was quick. That was very quick.
The Navy pit crew have done their bit. Now all eyes are on JJ. That front engine car is light at the back, and he has to take care on the sharp bends.
You can really hear his gear changes so much quicker. He's really got that down.
JJ's taking those bends in his stride. He's just got to hang on now. He's into the final straight.
I mean, I was very impressed with that
because, yeah,
so. You know, I thought that.
Wouldn't like to put to guess now without.
No,
the,
I wouldn't be able to guess now. No.
So I expect you'd probably quite like to know your time.
Yeah, no, looks like it. But.
The Catalysts. You did your three laps and your pit stop in a time of 4 minutes and 36 seconds.
Great.
Yes. Very good.
Well done,
Destroyers. You did your three laps and pit stop in a time of 4 minutes and 28 seconds. Oh. So you did a second round.
Done.
Just 8 seconds in it, but the superior teamwork of the Destroyers secured the round, and when the heat was on, the Cats were, frankly, the pits. It's the big one, and we stay on the same circuit for the head-to-head decider. It's winner takes all.
You're neck and neck. Now it's time to go head to head. One of you is just three laps away from being Scrap Heap Champions 2003. JJ's off like a shot, and he's beaten Tim into the chicane.
Oh, JJ got through first. I didn't expect that.
JJ's hanging on, hugging the faster inner part of the bend.
He's going high on the bank.
He's hanging up on the bank. There's no way through on the inside. Tim's forced to go wide, but has he got the power? Yes!
Got the speed then.
The Catalysts have done it. They've taken the lead. Tim saw his chance and went for it. JJ's hanging on, but Tim looks determined to shake him off. Tim's gunning down the straight. JJ's not giving up. He's powering through that chicane, and he's catching up.
I mean, actually, the gap's closed up a bit.
Tim knows he can't relax. His car seems to be faster on the straight, but JJ is nibbling away at his lead on the corners.
And it's into the chicane.
Slowing down. Tim's taken the chicane at a frightening pace, but JJ is determined not to be shaken off. It's the final lap, and JJ has to pull something out of the bag.
What can JJ in the Destroyer's car do? He just can't catch him, can he?
Tim knows he just has to hang on. But oh no, the Destroyer's car is losing power. It sounds like that old Jeep engine has had enough Grand Prix punishment.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The Cats are ecstatic. They've done it again.
Oh, fantastic.
Good
fun.
But it's a well-deserved cheer for JJ and the gallant Destroyer's crew.
Destroyers, you've been brilliant competitors. It's a big round of applause for the fantastic Destroyers. Well done, Aidan.
But once again, for the third year running, the fantastic, the talented, the brave, the charming Catalysts have yet again won the championship 2003!
Hooray! Yeah. Oh, come on, Iceman!